This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games media compartment. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. You want to try it today?
Yeah, why not? This right. PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on the YouTubes, 8 a.m. on your podcast services of choice.
That's daylight savings time.
Daylight savings time, yeah. Eastern daylight savings time. If you'd like to join that conversation, head on below, check out the links.
Pretty much on the point there. Pretty much if you want to join there. That PlayStation conversation, head over to our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/popcultures, Twitter, Discord, all those links are in the down below area. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopcultures. We support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live. And if you want to support us in a once-off fashion, head over to popculture.com/shop. We buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. We are also on a Twitch, twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where we did, in fact, stream last night. Yeah! Last night, Max and I streamed WWE 2K20 as a predictor for Survivor Series this coming weekend.
Some of the predictions were a bit crazy, but...
Yeah, they're a little bit wrong, put it simply. But it's right. So, you tell me about your 2K20 streaming skills as I go and turn that fan on.
So, as we pointed out, 2K20 last night, the game unfortunately didn't shit the bed as much as we was hoping for it to do. But, some of the predictions were just a little bit out there, I think. What was it? Triple count out for men's, double count out for women's leading into a draw.
Draw on the women's elimination match.
Daniel Bryan beating The Fiend in 30 seconds.
As to what you said, it is genuinely disappointing the game didn't fuck itself. Like, we had
a few moments where, like, Natalia was just constantly running into the ropes.
Yeah, so Natalia ran into the ropes endlessly.
Bayley showing disrespect and not getting out of the ring.
And then he didn't get out of Becky's way, so Becky had to morph through her to, like, get into position. Shayna ran at the ropes for a little while. Mm. There was a while of people just standing there. But overall, it was, like, too bad. Like, we didn't have an extra person just rock up, double people. Disappointing. Oh, and the belts
went bonkers. Were a bit weird, but
yeah.
Other than that, it wasn't too bad. All things considered.
Yeah, it was actually, it demonstrated much nicer than I expected, which was fantastic.
The patches may or may not be working.
That's true. It's hit and miss, depending on what you want to do. So Max is back again. Josh still currently away. I am looking how many episodes we have left for the rest of the year. I don't know what Josh's plans are. Hopefully, I'll at least get him back. I want to get him back for the last episode of the year. So we can do our game of the year discussion. I'll have you in that one as well. Maybe we'll do a bit of a clip show, and I'll reach out to the likes of Paul and Jono and Joel and all the other guests that we've had. Get them to bring
the variety show.
Yeah, well, just a little clip show.
Sounds good.
To add a little bit more fun to it. Because we're probably going to take a couple of weeks off at the end of the year. I'm thinking from like mid-December, moved like first, second week of June, for like 2-3 weeks off. I think we all need it. And I would really we'll just kind of get those last couple credits before the end of the year.
Yeah,
that's
sort of
my plan.
Yeah.
But anyway, how have you been? That's future stuff. How have you been this week?
Well, since last night when we had this discussion, it's been, you know, pretty chill week.
Yeah, that's one thing about podcasting. I forget that you saw each other like yesterday.
Still plodding along, playing Fallen Order.
Yeah. How are you finding it now? Like, how far are you in?
I think I'm at the very end.
Oh, sick.
I think I'm literally on last mission.
How many hours put in?
About 20, 25-ish?
Yeah, apparently it's about 30, so yeah, you're not doing too bad.
So, yeah, it's all right. Wish I explored more to find more stims, because just having three is kind of a pain in the ass.
Oh, really? You can upgrade your stims?
Yeah. Some of the game feels a little bit whack to me still, like the whole to get your Force meter back, go kill some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very anti-Jedi.
Yeah, you should be at one with the Force at all times, right?
But other than that, I'm having super fun with it. I'm really loving the Souls aspect, which kind of suckered me in.
Yeah, so I've not played any Fallen Order this week, mostly because it's been in the PS4 in the bedroom. So my wife has been jamming to it, so she's not far from where I got up to.
Yeah.
So she's probably about 2-ish, 3-ish hours in. But yeah, just I'm like, I'm gonna take the boy, you play, you chill out. So she'd been playing on like the story mode, like the PC easy mode, because knowing that the combat wouldn't entirely be for her, I thought, mate, it's probably a smart move because you always bump it up if you need. She seems to be enjoying herself. She's enjoying stabbing things. She's okay with the combat system because I think she likes either of the light heavy attacks. I think she's a fan of that. But maybe the dodging stuff she isn't as a fan of. But she's really quite... the benefit of the easy difficulty is the parry time is up the wazoo. So she's like ping, pew, and just like wrecking shop because of that. But I think she would have a staggeringly more impressive and more entertaining time by doing so because I complain about how much time I don't have to play games.
Yeah.
My wife has even less time to play games.
Yeah.
So for her, it makes... I'm like, all right.
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. You play it on easy, do what you got to do. Precision seems to be enjoying it. I'm debating picking it and taking it back. However, I have just been spending much more time with Death Stranding.
You got the Death Stranding bug again, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. So because I do want to see the end of this game.
Yeah,
I really do.
I'm hoping to finish it in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Once I finish with Fallen Order, that's probably what I'll go back to.
Smart call. Because I think the bite-sized chunk that is like Fallen Order is probably a nice break, you know, sort of like palate cleanser for Death Stranding.
And my Final Fantasy Online subscription has ended and I haven't renewed it, so I'm going to be playing a lot more stuff.
Nothing but time.
Because I always feel obligated to pay a game that I have to pay for constantly.
Makes sense. But yeah, so like I'm at about 35 hours, I'd say. So I've done about 15 since last week.
Yeah.
Easy.
Nice.
So I just sort of big hunks, a lot less sleep, just sort of like try push through. Because what I was finding was I was looking at the game, I'm like, I'm in chapter 3, I'm like 20 hours deep or 25 hours deep. I'm like, this can't be right.
But chapter 3 is like 40%
chapter
of the game.
Chapter 3 is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where like the big openness comes in chapter 3. And then once you pass that, it goes linear again. Yeah. Which is cool because you get a big moment to really kind of take it in and enjoy the game and do a lot of the moving around. Probably get a lot of trophy hunting done in that time too. And then you move from that to... back to those linear structures. So the first thing that happens once I finish chapter 3, I had a moment of... the fuck is this, in a good way.
Yeah.
So they kind of, I guess it's kind of spoilers. You mind about mild spoilers?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you know how the rain is time fall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It affects time, as in it rains and you get older. What do you think it happens when a storm happens, or a, I don't know, like a cyclone?
Yeah, that's mad.
Fucking awesome. So then there's this real time space dimension-y thing going on, which is very, very cool. Even though time, like the time paradoxes and stuff, always mess with my brain. Thankfully, they've been holding them here okay. So I've now met some more characters. I finally meet Mama, who you see a lot, but I finally get to see her. And you know, in the trailers, you know, she has that essentially BT baby.
Yep.
There's not a lot of explanation around that and why she has that, and you know, there's. I think I'm at that point now because one of the reports we hear a lot, I've been hearing a lot of, is how pro-life Death Stranding is.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, you can
can feel it. I can see it.
Well, you can see that from the start because they're mild spoilers again for the very start of the game. The BB you have is defective. It was marked for death and Norman Reedus is like, nah, man. His no.
Yeah. So then you push through with that, and like, yeah, where you are now, it even makes more sense, especially with Mama as a character and her connection to this BT specifically. I won't touch upon it because it is incredibly spoilery, but it really changes.
Yeah,
the dynamic between BTs and humans or people, I guess, or the idea of where this sits and this connection between the living and the dead, and all this awesome setup, and it's really cool, really cool. We'll get to this later as we talk more about the Game Awards, but it's got to be in my top three. It may be even top two at this point. Like, it's fascinating because it's difficult to explain why Death Stranding is good or why it is brilliant. And I think it comes from... because normally, like, it's... because the game shouldn't be fun. Oh. If someone pitches to you, it's a game where you reconnect America by delivering parcels. Now, the game is way stronger than that in many, many ways. But it's a situation of, if you were to give it to someone simply, if you were to explain Death Stranding to someone, they'd be like, how is that fun? But you play it and you are engrossed in it and you are consumed by it.
Oh, yeah. But like, you know, sure, at its core, you're a UPS guy that's just fetch questing, essentially, constantly. And as a big MMO player, fetch quests are the worst. This game doesn't rub me that way, though. Like, it's
I hate fetch quests. Hate them.
Like, it's like, go over there, kill these five bears, bring me back claws, and...
I think the big difference here, especially when you reference MMOs, is that, although with MMOs, yes, you go and you collect and you take it back, but there's no payoff. Aside from ticking boxes, right? Mm. Where here, it's like the payoff is there's more story to propel you.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's always that incentive to do more, especially if you do happen to get hooked into that story, because then just keep bringing you forward and forward and forward. And I think that's where it's...
But like, even the tedium of going from like one sensor to the next, especially if it's like go to this one and then pick up the stuff from there and bring it back to where you were. Mm. Like, sure, the initial trip to the first station is hot garbage, but by the time you come back, you're like, oh, my ladder's still there from last time. I've got this rope now. I can just...
Or you've gone to that distro center. You've connected to the Kyle network. Yeah. Bam, there's a bunch more stuff there around from other people.
So, you know, on the way back, it's not as tedious.
Mm.
But
speaking of that Kyle network stuff and the connection to the larger world of Death Stranding players, that's awesome. I'm really jigging that. Because you've got a friend of yours, right? That he said he's still in Chapter 3,
literally,
but he's just building the
literally
world.
Literally all he's doing is building the world. So he's like building roads, building zip lines, and he's like, I've almost got like a million likes from... Because all of my stuff is in really good spots and everyone's using it.
Yeah. See, like, it just had different...
Like, I was talking to him the other night. He's like, I spent like 4 hours and did nothing but deliver pizzas and build roads. And he's loving it.
Yeah. So I tend to contribute occasionally when I happen to have some stuff. Like, I'll go out of my way to do a trip if I'm like delivering something. I'm like, I'll pick whatever materials I can on the way. Mm. And then I'll dump it at a road nearby. But like, I never will seek it out like your friend's doing.
Well, I'm the same. If I see a bridge that needs materials and there's materials in the area, I'll go get the materials and finish building the bridge. But I'm like, I'm more of the guy who's like, that ladder's in a shitty spot. I'm going to jack that guy's ladder and take it with me and put it somewhere better.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some bridges in some really unnecessary spots. I'm like, I'm dismantled. Yeah, just like, you are not helping me. If anything, your bridge is making life difficult and you're taking up bandwidth.
Yeah, yeah, because obviously there's bandwidth in the area, so you can't put too much stuff down.
Once there's more highways getting unlocked, that makes life so much. Granted, you pick up less random shit along the way, but I'm also at a point now that I've done enough side missions that almost all of the centers are about 4 stars with me minimum.
Mm.
So I'm kind of just chipping away at the last bit. So if anything, once the game's done, I'll probably go and then clear them up and get 5 stars in all of them. Presuming that's a trophy.
Probably.
I don't really have the incentive to kind of go off the path anymore unless I have to. And even like now I've actually unlocked weapons, so even the mules are less annoying now. Now granted, there's now introduction of lethal and non-lethal weapons. Now, if you don't want more BTs, I'm just like boom, boom, like rubber balling those pricks with non-lethal assault rifle. and then just standing next and wait for them to like stand up from being dazed, and I just choke them out with the whatever the hell.
Oh yeah, with the strand.
Yeah, the strand and a.
Such a good implementation of rope.
Yeah, no, the game is absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really into it.
It's one of those games where it's more fun depending on how you play it. Like, you make your own fun in that game, I find.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not someone that maps out my route. Like, you know, I was into another pod with a friend of mine, and they talked about how they were like, bing, 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 bing. Where I'm just like, all right, I literally set out in the direction, like, I'm going to go that direction, let's see where I go.
Well, see, I'm stubborn. I'll set up the pings, and regardless of whether or not my ping goes over a huge mountain, I won't walk around it. I'm like, this is where my ping is. This is where I'm going. And I'll try and find a way to just go straight over the top of a mountain.
Ballsy.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, like I do the.
But once you've done it once, all your ropes are in place.
It's true.
And then getting down.
See, I've only ever put in like one rope. I've used no ladders.
I tend to not use ladders, but ropes are the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I just kind of go the more loosey goosey, I'll find the path rather than like making it like you are.
Mm.
It's amazing how this different game. It's so simple gameplay is. I just can't. It's just. I can't explain how the game is why it should be good.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. Everything about it doesn't add up.
Mm.
But it's, as I said, and I'll say it every time, it has finally solidified my opinion that I am in fact a Kojima fan. I'm not just a fan of Metal Gear. I am a Kojima fan, which is nice to know as I had that really unnecessary internal conflict. Anything else? Can we play it?
No, not really. A little bit more Smash because the new Smash character came out.
That's
Terry Fury, Bogard Terry, from King of Fighters. Yeah, King of Fighters.
Yeah.
He's all right. Pretty good. He's the same as the rest of the melee fighters. He's got no recovery. If you get knocked off, you're pretty much screwed. I've been playing a lot more Pokemon.
Yeah, as the Pokemon's going. Has the Pokedexes?
Yeah, I'm at 200 or 400-ish. So nice. I'm slowly getting there. Slowly filling it out.
Yeah, I haven't played any more Luigi's Mansion.
Like, yeah, that was a thing that came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's I enjoyed it, but I don't know. Death Stranding's just got me too good. But anyways, that's some of what we've been playing. Let's jump into the section where we tell you what happened this week in a section we call Inform the Players. So it's all the PlayStation news. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bits of news, or 6 bits of news, and a bunch of quick bits.
Damn, busy news week.
Not really. I just kind of pulled things that seemed the most interesting. They're all kind of shorty bits anyway. Number one, no more loot boxes in Rocket League. I have to preface that because it'd be really cool. Loot boxes are being ripped out of Rocket League. In this game, they are known as crates, and then they're randomized premium rewards are getting the boot in favor of a much more transparent system. This change has been known for a while, but in Psyonix's latest blog post, there is now a definitive date for the update, and that is the 4th of December. So it's pretty much next week or the week after. It is on this date that the game's next major patch will drop, replacing crates with keys with blueprints and credits. If you have any unused crates or keys sitting in your account, these will automatically be converted into the new items. Pardon me. Blueprints will drop after some matches and will show you a specific item you can buy with credits at the new premium currency. So a new item shop will also be implemented where you'll be able to use credits to purchase a rotating roster of premium items. This update also sees the start of the Rocket Pass 5 and the competitive Season 13. So they've ditched the RNG style setup to more of a, here, is this what you want? Cool. You'll probably end up paying more for it in the new currency, but you get what you want.
Yeah.
Now, I don't play a lot of Rocket League. I know you used to.
Yeah, I still play a fair bit. I mean, I got heaps of crates just sitting there because I never open them.
Mm. So it's probably worthwhile keeping them and
letting them convert to currency. Sounds like it's all going to convert now, so we'll see how I go. Maybe
very nice. So it is. Do you think this could be a beginning of change?
Well, it depends. Because obviously, when you get a loot box in Rocket League, I think there's like 10 to 12 things that you could possibly get. So some are just paint, some are decals, some are cars, some are loot, like goal explosions, wheels,
mm-hmm.
for instance. So instead of getting a crate when I end the game, or the chance of a crate when I end the game, and the chance at 12 items, am I getting just a blueprint for one of the possible 12 items?
Oh, yeah.
Because then I still might not be able to get what I want.
Well, I can't give exactly what you want.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, I don't spend money on Rocket League.
Yeah, so maybe the blueprint is like, transferable to one decal.
Yeah.
Like not a specific decal, but maybe like for one decal.
Yeah.
And maybe something might take two blueprints or three blueprints.
Yeah.
Plus currency.
So I haven't followed this much, so I'm not too sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens on the 4th.
Yeah, very cool. It's like I don't see everyone changing to go with it or to match it, but it could be a cool start.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in like Overwatch 2.
Yeah. Yeah, spot on. The fascinating part will be to see how everyone reacts, because on the surface, no loot boxes is good. but microtransactions are still a thing. Like, because originally the argument was against microtransactions, and then we essentially got okay with microtransactions because loot boxes were worse.
Well, see, I never had a problem with microtransactions. If people want to buy something in a game, they should be able to buy what they want to buy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to spend $15 on a skin, spend $15 on a skin. Doesn't make a difference to me. But spending $15 on a chance at a skin, that's gross.
Yeah, see, because I'm not a big gambler in real life, mostly because I'm like, well, you know, it's hard enough to get the money that I have. I'm not going to then, you know,
yeah,
add more to it, you know, make it even harder. Number two, more speculation around Dreams. The ratings board can occasionally give you some interesting news about release dates, Max, but it's not terribly uncommon for a previously unannounced game to be then rated ahead of an official reveal or the announcement of said release date. For the latest development on one of PlayStation 4's most exciting exclusives, which is Dreams, it has been available in early access for the better half of a year, but a new rating might suggest it is coming closer than we think, which is adding to what we heard last week with speculation of it coming in February. The Australian Ratings Board has offered the Media Molecule Project a PG.
That's really? Okay. Really?
Yeah, even though it has the freedom to like do whatever you want, I guess. Maybe it's that PG with online experiences may vary.
Yeah. Oh no, this game's been in my cart for like 6 months.
Yeah, I can't pull the trigger.
No, I'm the same.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, part of me's like, it's going to be more expensive when it fully releases. Do I want to just get it cheap now? And then I'm like, do I want to play other people's stuff? Because realistically, I'm probably not going to make anything myself. And then I turn around and went, heck, I'm Mario Maker.
The issue that I have with it, is that I would want to see not someone's version of Dead Space, not someone's version of PT.
Oh, but that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Like the one that was all over the news a couple of months ago when someone remade Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, no, because like that's A, copyright infringement and opening you up to some legal problems. It's just I want the original stuff. And then I see the original stuff, I'm like, it's not for me. Like, and that's the weird problem is like I'm like, oh, the original stuff, yeah, not for me.
Yeah,
that's right. These things happen. But more interestingly, the rating was processed just a couple of days ago on the 20th of November. Is this a clue? You know, that's going to be, it's going to be around very soon. Because normally, what if no, say if November, it's just under 3 months away. Excuse me.
They might.
That seems like enough amount of time between now and then, especially on a PR marketing window. Yeah,
do you reckon they're going to announce anything at Game Awards? Because Game Awards announce.
I would say so. I think Game Awards, like, it's probably the safest bet for a reveal at Game Awards.
Because there's no PSX.
There's no PSX that we're aware of. There's no PS5 announcement or anything until presumably February anyway. So it'd be pretty much out at that point. And you need at least 3 months of good marketing on a game to be able to get good enough interest in it.
Especially a game like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't know whether I pick it up, though. It's a tough one for me. It's really tough. Can't make the decision. Resident Evil 3 Remake. A remake of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis has been rumored since the very successful release of Resident Evil 2 earlier this year. Potentially one of the games of the year, just saying. But it looks like an announcement could be imminent. Spawnwave, who's been credited with multiple leaks, including the one for the Elden Ring, claims that a revival of the PS1 survival horror is in development at Capcom and is targeting a release next year. Assuming that the intended 2020 date is accurate, an announcement could in fact be right around the corner, perhaps as early as the Game Awards next month. It'll be interesting to see what platforms the project is aiming for. You would presume it's going to be PS5, but they may... you presume PS5 because there's, you know, back end of next year could be really cool, but seeing it is around the end of the year, PS4 is more than likely.
Yeah.
There has been an update to this, though. Adding additional fuel to the fire, VGC has reported that it's been told by, quote, a number of sources that the remake is in production and scheduled for release next year. Eurogamer then corroborates the news by stating it has also heard word of the project and, quote, sources close with development suggest that it has been in development for some time.
It'll be interesting to see if it's in the style of Resident Evil 2 remake, where they kind of redo the whole thing, or if it's just going to be...
Well, maybe one of those things, like, they started Resident Evil 2, and they're like, this game looks fantastic, it's going to go gangbusters, let's get 3 going. Like, do you reckon they'd have enough foresight to see that, or would that be too presumptuous?
No, I reckon they do, but at the same time, like, Resident Evil 8, like, come on.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, this has been the year of the remake.
Yeah, but that's the back end of generations. It's always the case.
No, I don't disagree, but, you know, do we want to replay older games again?
I've never played Nemesis, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay,
fair enough. Well, as someone that, because I've discussed this many, many times in the past, as someone that, during the PS1 era, the PS2 era, I was Silent Hill. Silent Hill was my franchise of horror games. So I've played pretty much every Silent Hill game there ever was. Resident Evil just didn't come my way for whatever reason. So it wasn't until I played Resident Evil like five, I played 4 and loved it back on PS2. But then I skipped 5, I skipped 6. We reviewed 7, which was fantastic. And then, except for the weird kind of back end of it, was a bit interesting. But then Resident Evil 2 Remake was absolutely astounding. And as I said, very much probably my top 2 game of the year, just because I've absolutely blown apart by it. This makes me go like, well, I don't have Silent Hill anymore, this is it. And if this is it, I'm very happy with this.
Fair enough.
So not knowing what Resident Evil 3 has in terms of story, setup, whatever, I'm quite... My heart fluttered when I heard the news. I was like, oh, I don't know what this is and I want to play it.
Yeah, it'll be the same. Like, it'll sell gangbusters. Mm. Like, people love Nemesis.
Yeah, so...
Obviously not as much as 2, but like...
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, it has been good, right?
Most of the Resident Evil games have been good except for 5.
Yeah, because Silent Hill...
was a 6. The one that looks like there's a giraffe giving...
Yeah, that's 6 in the picture. Because Silent Hill was pretty trash after 3. Like, I like Silent Hill 4 The Room personally, but from what I remember, most people have pretty standard, like, nah, it's like Game Suck Bus.
Yeah.
So...
Every franchise has its...
But then Resident Evil had like 78 remakes. There was like Resident Evil 0, then there was like Raccoon City and Chronicles.
There's so many.
Code Veronica, Code Veronica X, for the same game, I don't know. So many. It's absolutely crazy. Speaking of games that are so many, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, this one was cool.
Rumors have been long swirling that Ubisoft's follow-up to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, thought to be all about Vikings. This supposed code name for the game is currently Kingdom.
Oh, really? I saw Ragnarok.
However,
according
to the new Scuttlebutt doing the rounds online, Assassin's Creed Ragnarok will be the name of the upcoming sequel. One or two sources have shared this information even more. Allegedly, Ragnarok, if that's even its real name, will take place around 800 AD and will delve deeper into the first civilization storyline and will feature a map covering Scandinavia and England. A now-deleted Reddit post tells us you'll play as a male or a female Viking named Jorah, who becomes an assassin during the game. It also says the recruitment system for the Brotherhood is back, and that there will be mythical locations and characters to discover. Gameplay will apparently be largely the same as Odyssey, including stints of modern-day storytelling. Finally, it's said that Ragnarok will be a cross-gen title, releasing a version for both PS4 and PS5. And all of this should be taken with a pinch of salt, of course. It also suggests that the game will officially be revealed early next year, possibly during a Sony PS5 reveal. But as it stands right now, everything is rumors, but some of it does seem quite plausible but questionable.
I mean, it makes sense if they're doing cross-generation
Assassin's. Why release 2 SKUs? Because, like, backwards compatibility is a thing. Why 2 SKUs?
Because that's the whole thing. Like, we still don't know, just because it's backwards compatibility, what are they doing? Am I putting a PS4 disc in my PS5 and they're like, hey man, I can see you're playing on PS5, would you like all these textures?
Or it's like, ooh, that's a PS4 game.
Or are they going to, be like, oh, it's a PS4 game, click here to buy the PS5 version.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know that I want this.
Plays like Odyssey, I'm pretty keen.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the last 2 Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
And if I can play, like, Assassins of War, I'm pretty happy with that.
The issue that I have with Assassin's Creed is the games are giniferous.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. Even Golden Path, they're huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I
probably won't have the time for it either. Yeah, but babies. Like, you know.
You're about to understand.
A girl can dream.
The babies. Yeah. And, you know, previously when Ragnarok has been mentioned in media, it's not what you expect. It's a movie about a rock person and it's all silly and brightly colored. Jeff Goldblum's in it. So, like, you know, your expectations of what Ragnarok should be get really dismissed. Because apparently the end of all things is more about Loki and Thor making jokes at each other. So,
I don't know. I think God of War did a pretty good...
It's not Ragnarok, though.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's what I'm saying. Not yet.
Big spoilers for God of War.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
It's been out for 2 years.
But I mean that as in, like, as just a joke about how Thor Ragnarok, although good, disappointed the shit out of me because I wanted End of Days.
Ragnarok happened. Like, they literally destroyed Thingo.
Yeah.
Like, it happened.
But they're like, oh, yeah, that's happening over there. Hey, Craig, Krog, what did you say on your thing? Oh, he's still on the bug. Go away, ghost.
Yeah.
Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie, or mostly fuck my expectations. I don't know, one of the two. But yeah, so is that Norse set, well, I guess Scandinavian Norse setup interesting?
Yep. I mean, they're running out of stuff to do. They've done China, they've done Russia, they've done Egypt twice. No, once.
Yeah.
They did Greece. They did English already.
Well, but what if they go
they
like...
three lots of Italians.
What if they go Indigenous Australian? We don't have cool mountains to scale, though.
We don't, but like, I'd totally rate throwing a boomerang at someone in a game.
Yeah, fuck. That'd be awesome. Well, because, yeah, they pretty much have done almost all native... Like, or slash, like...
Because they've done because they did American Indians.
Yeah, well, they did that with three in the round of the Civil War.
They did Italians in, like, two and Brotherhood or whatever.
Yeah, they did.
They did the...
They did, like, the Middle East with, like, Jerusalem and whatnot first. They've done Egypt in Origins.
Yep.
They did Japan in...
Because they've done China and Russia.
China, Russia. Was it China, Russia, and Japan? There was a three set.
Maybe.
They're all PS3s. They're all side scrollers, but they got.
Yeah.
No, India.
It was India. India, China, Russia.
There's been a Japan one.
Mm. And they did. Yeah, they did the English one.
Yeah, and they got Greek mythology.
Yep.
What's left? South African? Like Amazon? Mayan? Crap, I'm trying to think what else there is. It's going to sound really, like, you know, insensitive of me. Just to not know.
Turk.
Yeah. That's that, yeah. British. No, they did British with, like, Unity and stuff, right?
Mm.
Oh, that's France. It's Paris.
No, but they did... The twins were British.
Oh, yeah, they were too. Fuck, well, then they need to go interstellar now. That's what it is.
They need to go interstellar.
Is there any option? There's nothing left. Nothing left. PS5 news! In a recent Wired article, there's been discussion around the next year's PS5, as we know, the idea of, you know, this, you know, all this fancy pants information they've been giving out, and they have talked about how there is going to be a new controller, and it had been described as looking pretty much like the DualShock 4. However, a newly uncovered design op from a Japanese patent has given us a look at what the next-gen controller could possibly be. Reported by Video Games Chronicle, the patent shows the new controller, which gets rid of a couple of features. So, the light bar is removed.
Which is odd, because PS5 is supposed to support the VR headset.
Yeah, so it's
and that light bar is real important for that PS5.
It's incredibly important. So, that's been removed, and then the charging plug has been moved up in central. In this case, it looks to be a USB Type-C, which is fascinating. Cool. The size of the triggers has increased. However, there has been a decrease in the size of its thumbsticks, however, so slightly. What else they got? So they've got the new haptic feedback, you know, all the additional
the adaptive
things they've
triggers
got there.
And
so the touchpad still remains by the looks of it. However, previously it would curve across the top, and now it seems to be just its own kind of button. So there's a little bit of a bezel around it as it got to the front controller. It looks to be a bit more chunkier. Maybe not exactly like, 'cause I'm looking at the Razer Raiju over there, which is a big boy. Not quite as thick as that, not quite as thick as the Xbox controller, but there is an additional heft to it. Like, it's not quite as thin.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Have you ever looked at these patterns?
I have. And yeah, my first thought was like, wow, they're getting rid of the light bar.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting, because they did say that PSVR would be supported on PS5.
That is a risky ass move.
So does that mean I just have to use my PS4 controller when I'm using PSVR?
I presume so.
Or do you reckon they're going to go away with using the DualShock as a controller format for the PSVR? So there'll be no more games like Moss. Like
all you can hope is it means they're released. Remember back in the day, there was these other patents for a DualShock that turned into two move controls?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Maybe the big reason that you would use the DualShock over the move controls is because you want an analog stick.
Yeah.
What if there are new VR controllers in the works that are analogs?
As you said, you will no longer need
the DualShock, because what's the difference between this and this? It's just analog sticks, and now you've got them.
Yep.
So you still get every other button is accounted for on the move, but analog sticks.
Yeah.
It's the only way to sort of get around it, I guess.
Because obviously the light bar didn't really serve much of a purpose.
Well, no, the problem was it just reflects off your TV. And what I come to learn this week is the problem with the light, it's hardwired into the controller. Mm. As in, you cannot turn it off on a software level. Mm. Like, the only thing they could do is dim it, which you could do, but that's it. In order for the controller to function, the light must be on.
Mm.
That's shitty design. Very shitty design. Because, yeah, the problem with the light is, like, I'd be playing at night and I'd, it's bounce back and you'd get shunned right in the face. The example I heard used this week was, it was clearly someone using it in a boardroom as well lit. Like, when they pitched the idea, like, hey, there's a light bar. Oh, cool. But in a real world testing, when you're at home in a, dark room or, dimmed room, right there, big fucking pink thing in the front. So, and of course, this will drastically improve battery life. Presumably, however, with the haptic feedback, will that then change that? It's cool because obviously, without any the current analog vibration in the controller.
Yeah.
So they essentially sit in the palm rests of the controller. With that being moved to more haptic feedback, they don't need to be as cylindrical. They can be moved around a little bit. It's pretty cool. I'm interested to see what gets done with that. Overall, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm pretty happy with the look of that controller.
Well, they've never really done too much to, like, crazy when changing controller.
Yeah, straight up. Like, they have done the, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Like, the first one obviously had no thumbsticks, and then they introduced thumbsticks, and then it was the same controller for 4 years.
Yeah.
Until they added the new map button.
Yeah, and then there was the... Because
that's what the touchpad is now. It's just another way to open a menu.
True, but so the original plan for the PS3 was very different. It was like that boomerang controller. However, when they realized that was ergonomically stupid, they were like, shit, we have no time. So they just straight up used the exact mold from the PS2 controller.
Mm.
Like, that's why it is exactly a wireless version of the PS2 controller.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we have no time. So, and then you get the slight iteration of the PS3 to the PS4, and then slight iteration again. Like, this is not Nintendo here, which you need to make dumbass controllers just because.
I don't know. I like the GameCube controller.
You would, you dork.
I mean, to be fair, this, the best controller is still the Xbox controller, though.
This
new Xbox One controller is
mint. I do have a lot of respect for the current Xbox controller.
If I could play PlayStation with offset thumbsticks, that would just make my day.
Oh, speaking of, have you seen that new Thrustmaster controller?
No, but
holy shitballs.
Well, I nearly cried when I saw the price of the Astro controller. It's like, because I was talking to my mate about it. He's like, yeah, I bought one. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
It's like $400 bucks.
They're like $400.
Shit.
And he's like, no, man, I had a gift card. It was $375. Like, it's like,
that's not better.
I'm like, that's like the cost of the console that you're
buying. You could buy a PS4 for that. Easy. Saying that, though, yeah. So I saw it because we friends of the show, Turn Left Distribution, like, they're bringing it out here in Australia. They had it across their social medias. So I was having a look at it. Yeah. So it has interchangeable shit. I'm like, I gotta try this. And the Astro one has a very similar in design.
It's the same thing. You can, everything's swappable.
So I haven't done it yet, but I think I may reach out and be like,
you should.
Can I review this bad boy?
Yeah.
Because, like, as someone that isn't that hardcore gamer, I probably really don't give two shits about how the controller works. I want to see if the novelty is worth it. That's what it comes at for me. My approach is the novelty of it.
So, yeah, like, my friend, for example, who's got the Astro one, he's like, I'm playing with two different size sticks now. It's great. I love it.
See, but saying that, though, like, under that same idea, because I'm just so used to the standard, what if I find a way that makes it better?
Yeah, because you struggled when you first got because I gave you my scarf.
Yeah.
When you got the Raiju, and you struggled.
Because I'm just so used to the standard controller.
But in saying that, it's interesting. So I only use my scarf when I'm playing shooters.
Mm.
If I'm playing Rocket League, I'm playing that on a standard Just Rock 4. Because the other buttons get in the way.
Yes.
But if I'm playing shooter, I need those extra buttons.
True. Like when using the Raiju when I was playing like Call of Duty and stuff, like that is where it has an advantage.
Having the ability to like jump and look at the same time is fantastic.
Yeah, that's because
I don't play like Claw, like those crazy people that use their index finger to hit like square, triangle, and X. I'm just like, that's not.
All right. We're going to have a quick break because I'm about to piss my pants. So, I mean, we don't normally do this, but I'll be right back. And I'm back. So the whole time I'm talking about controllers, I'm just like, I've got to control this piss. Like, I was fighting so hard, fighting. Like,
the big question is, though, how many mushrooms grew?
Not as many as I wanted. But I think we're talking about PS5 stuff. This is the second part to this, right? So a Twitter user has stated that a supposed release date, they've posted a supposed release date and price for the PS5. The rumor is being reported by no other outlet, just this dude, and yet the date and price are being touted as 100% fact. This is just straight up one person's best guess, but I thought it was funny, so I put it in here. The account at PS Erebus, that's PSEREBUS, is framing himself as an insider, and is reporting that Sony will launch the PS5 in the North America on November 20, 2020, for a price of $499.
I mean, that's probably around when it is going to come out.
Yeah, like, it's solid guesswork. Like,
that's solid guesswork. $499.
I believe both Josh and I guessed almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And we are less than nobody.
$499 seems like an alright price point, I guess. It means it's going to be like $600 here.
Kotaku News editor Jason Schreier offers a similar warning on Reset Error and says, these are just guesses. Anyone telling you that they know the PS4 price right now is lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, if anything, that's the one, like, this is the one issue with journalism in general, but I guess it's probably more affecting games journalism, because, like, real journalism, they always, like, check facts and stuff. But in games press, you could be like, I have a source that's telling me this. Who's your source? They...
can't tell you my source. I'm a journalist.
I'm a journalist. Like, if anything, I could do that and just say it was freaking my wife. Or James. I'm like, James, how much is PS4 going to be? He's like, 7. I'm like, all right, good enough for me. Thanks, James. He knows what's up. It just made me chuckle. I have no commentary on that because it's just fuck.
I mean, it could be close, but true.
Final bit of news before we get in the quick bits. But there is currently a Black Friday sale on the PSN, Max.
Yep,
having up to 60% sale on some things, which is cool. So I've picked a couple here that may be of interest to people. GTA 5 Premium Online Edition, $14, $14.95. Red Dead 2, $47.95. Resident Evil 2 Remake, $24.95.
Oh, that's a bargain.
That's a bargain for that one. God of War, $17.95. Spider-Man's DLC, $14.95 or $25 for the full set. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete, $17.95. Detroit Become Human, $17.95. The Division 2 Ultimate Edition, $39.95. 77% off from its original price of $174.95.
Wow.
The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, $24.95. Blood and Truth, $24.95. Firewall Zero Hour, $19.45. So a couple of good VRs in there as well. Massive on the Division 2.
Mm.
Like if you're willing to wait 8 months, save some bucks.
Mm.
And a GTA 5, I guess. Why not?
I have another bit of news if you want.
Oh, what'd you find while I was pooping?
It's the update from the last week's pattern. Ooh, of the expandable, the expandable memory for the PS5.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it sounds like the people who were digging up the pattern last time dug a little deeper. They found a related patent Sony filed in Japan about a year ago. Patent was granted in early August and contains illustrations that gives you an even better look at the cartridge itself.
Mm-hmm.
With the description being, this is a recording medium which can record various data such as character, an image, an animation, a sound, and a program. Hard by drive. Loading the operating provided by the game console with the tip end part by which a variety of pins of this cartridge were provided, the various data recorded on this cartridge can be read. It's, yeah.
Hard drive.
Yep.
Flash storage.
Yep.
Sick!
Maybe. Depends on the, you know, the Sony branded, how much they're going to charge for them. But yeah, cool. Expandable memory. Awesome.
Fascinating. Especially for the likes of like a PS, you know, PS2 as an example, has the big fucking network plugged in the back. For most people, it just remains empty. It's that situation of like, does that mean there's going to be a giant plug in the back of the PS5 that no one may use? Like, because A, how big is that? Does it give measurements in size?
No, it doesn't give measurements by the look of it. By the look of it, no.
Well, presumably it's like just a PCI port, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be about that wide, probably about that long, potentially.
It looks about the size of a floppy disk, essentially.
Yeah, so that's not
it
too
actually
bad.
Kind of looks like that in there.
It probably is a floppy disk, just for funsies. As long as it has that cool little latch,
the flicky bit,
the flicky bit on the floppy, then that's all I care about
to protect the tape.
Yeah.
Inside.
Oh my god, that takes me back. Makes us feel so old. But then I remember playing on like the 5.25-inch bad boys.
Yeah,
the big fuck offs.
I have one of those.
You had to put it in. You had to latch that shit. Like, because that shit would just fling out. You had to latch it.
Oh jeez. I remember having to tune your TV to try and find the video game channel on the RF cord.
Yeah, well that's true.
Good,
yeah,
old, good old channel 3. He's like, come on.
Yeah, my original PS1, that PS1 actually, yeah, came with the AV cables, but our TV didn't have it, so we had to buy the RF one.
Yeah.
And every time it was always kind of shitty. It was very disappointing. Quick bits. Horizon Zero Dawn stuff is... So more Horizon Zero Dawn stuff is coming to Monster Hunter World in a current thing that runs until Gen 10 next year. I think it's more weaponry and stuff, so no characters, it's more weaponry. God of War could be the next PS Plus game, according to a Redditor. They attempted to purchase it on the store and was like, oh, it's free with PS Plus. Like, what? But then obviously couldn't initiate it.
Yeah.
Patch 1.03, WWE 2K20 is live, claims to have general fixes across numerous modes. We can either confirm or deny that. Patch 1.09 for Call of Duty Modern Warfare is also live. It's about 10 gigs. It comes with new spec op missions, more modes for multiplayer, including kill confirmed. Yeah. Well, I was there on day one, you piece of shit. Sources are claiming that Sony are working on a Crash Bandicoot movie.
Yeah.
Interesting decision, considering as the Ratchet and Clank one did so well.
Did you see the rumor of the Crash Bandicoot World game as well?
That sounds so fucking gross. Because you know what made the PS2 Crash Bandicoot games really shitty? Open world.
Yeah.
I got real mad at it. I was jokingly got really mad at a client for it. Because they were telling me this. I'm like, why are you telling... This sounds disgusting. They could just report on it. It's fine. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just making fun of you. Having fun with you.
Yeah, nah, it's no good.
Sounds don't asshole. Do it.
Please.
Yeah, and it's like... Because the thing she was like, it's cool. It's there's an 8. It's like Crash Bandicoot 8. Why would there be 8? Like, there's way more than 8 Mario... There's way more than 8 Crash games. And apparently it's going to talk about, you know, sun and moon and eclipses. I'm like... Put the, it was actually quite funny because it was like, it's like put the sun and moon next to each other. All right. What shape does it make? Infinity symbol. Now turn the page. I had a moment. I chuckled really hard.
Yeah.
And Lindsay was like, how did I not notice that? And finally, the tech director, Christopher Reese, has teased the potential of a Days Gone 2. At the Joystick Awards in the UK, I believe, which Days Gone did win the award for best PlayStation game. Yeah, I presume that means exclusive. There's not been a whole lot this year, so makes sense. Pretty cool. Easy done.
Cool.
But that's enough about the news, Max. Let's keep that conversation about awards going as we head into a session called Chat to the Players. We chat to you this week about the Game Awards. So the Game Awards is the, you know, yearly awards for games. It's like, I guess, the Oscars or the Emmys or something like that, but within the gaming space. Nominees came out this week. This week.
Yep.
And there...
I think nominations closed on the 14th or the 15th of November.
Yeah, 13th US time, so 14th for us. It kind of went... And anything released post that could not be considered. Sorry, Jedi Fallen Order. No chance.
Same with Pokemon's.
Oh, sorry.
Which is like the highest selling Nintendo game in like...
Well, it normally comes out in October, so I guess that's kind of why they got janked. Oh, too bad. And so I thought it'd be cool for us to, A, have a look at the awards and put out where our predictions lie. And then on top of that, we'll have a discussion about the awards in general and where we sit. Which way do you want to go?
Well, let's see what's on the list first.
All right.
We'll have a chat about what's on the list and then maybe what our thoughts of the list is.
Yeah,
and then
so we'll go from the least interesting to the most interesting awards. I deleted all the esports ones because he gives a fuck.
Maybe just do like the main ones.
Yeah, Content Creator of the Year. I don't know who any of these people are. Courage, Dr. Lupo, Ewok, Grefg, and Shroud. I'm aware of Shroud.
Okay, so the top three are all Fortnite players.
Lame.
I believe Ewok's the young girl who's deaf, just moved to Mixer.
I should probably get it then.
I don't know.
Shroud, I've seen Shroud play a lot of PUBG back in the day.
Shroud is an ex CSGO pro player. He has like the best aim in the world. Literal human aimbot.
See, they're not content creators. Well, they technically are content creators, but yeah, it's tough. Well,
I mean, they create content, they stream, they and then, do, and then upload YouTube videos of their.
I guess that's how, like, I consider content creation. I consider what this is more content creation.
Yeah.
But then again, they can't have an award for, like, enthusiast press.
Why not? I mean, all of these were made up. Like,
that's true. Just seems more weird. Fresh indie game presented by Subway.
What?
The fresh indie games, the brand new indie games. Elysium, Gris, My Friend Pedro, Outer Wilds, Slay the Spire, and Untitled Goose Game. Goose Game is taking that motherfucker, like, unquestionably.
Although Disco Elysium is apparently, like, amazing.
Yeah, apparently Pedro is pretty dope too. Understandably, but, like, they're all, that's probably why they're there.
Goose Game.
Yeah, Goose Game is, like, Goose Game will sweep indies, unquestionable. Best multiplayer game: Apex Legends, Borderlands 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Tetris 99, or Division 2.
Apex Legends will win.
Apex will win that one. I personally like the Division 2, but I think Apex has probably got a stronger fan base. Borderlands 3 is me. Call of Duty, the multiplayer is fine. Best sports racing. Sports and racing get lumped together. Suck it. Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fuel, Dirt Rally 2.0, eFootball Pro Evolution Soccer 2020, F1 2019, and FIFA 20.
Yeah, that's how Crash got in.
Yeah.
Because it's sports / racing.
Yeah. Where's MLB The Show?
Never there.
Racist. Probably FIFA. You ever thought of that one?
Yeah, probably FIFA.
Yeah, it makes sense. Best strategy game. I have no idea. I don't play them. Age of Wonders, Planetfall, Anno 1800, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Total War Three Kingdoms, Tropico 6, Wargroove. I'm going to say probably Fire Emblem.
I want to say
only because the one I know.
I want to say Fire Emblem, but it probably won't win it. It's a fairly niche-ish.
Yeah, but they're all niche. Strategy games niche as fuck.
True.
I get a lot of emails about Anno because I get them on the Ubisoft list, but
Anno's pretty big.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say Fire Emblem just because anyone I know. Best family game: Luigi's Mansion 3, Ring Fit Adventure, Super Mario Maker 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Yoshi's Crafted World. Literally all Nintendo games.
Obviously, Mansion. Super Mario Maker.
Oh, really? I'm going to say Mansion.
You reckon?
I reckon Mansion will take the win. Big time.
$5.
Oh, you're on.
Yeah. You know, Mario Maker, I reckon.
Best fighting game: Dead or Alive 6, Jump Force, Mortal Kombat 11, Samurai Showdown, Super Smash.
It'll be Mortal Kombat.
Yes, because even though Smash is a fighting game, I wouldn't consider it a fighting
Smash
game.
Smash also was released in December of last year, so I'm surprised it even made a list.
Well, maybe something because November to November.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you know, who remembers games from that far?
People still play Smash.
Oh, yeah, but that's because Smash has new characters coming out every other month.
That's true. Taste irrelevant. Best RPG: Disco Elysium, Final Fantasy XIV, Kingdom Hearts 3, Monster Hunter World Iceborne, and The Outer Worlds.
The Outer Worlds.
The Outer Worlds is smashing the shit out of it.
The Outer Worlds. The only other one that would come close would maybe be Disco Elysium.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I am oddly so happy that Kingdom Hearts only got one award.
It's not even going to get it. It got nominated for it. It's not going to win it. It was terrible.
Kingdom Hearts dick so hard, and it's like, man, like,
I love Kingdom Hearts, but it was terrible.
It's great, made me very happy because it was butt. Now we get into the big boys. Best action adventure game: Borderlands 3, Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, or Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice?
See, personally, it'd be Sekiro for me, but what I think will actually win is probably Death Stranding.
Control. I think Rez.
Yeah, see, it's so hard because, like, personally, my game of the year, Control.
Mm.
Just all round. Control was fantastic. It was one of those games where I couldn't put it down.
Mm.
Resident Evil 2, I feel really weird about remakes getting nominated for Game of the Year. And I get that it's a complete remake. It doesn't play anything like the original, but it just feels weird.
Because it's the action part that's throwing me.
Because there's not a lot of action in...
Yeah, because Death Stranding is straight... Well, it's an adventure game and you go on an adventure. But saying that, though, every game you go on an adventure.
Yeah.
So for most people, an adventure game is a point-and-click game. I guess I'm getting stuck in the semantics of the description here. But Control was dope, but it really did... Like, critically, it went well, but it sold kind of butt.
It did. But these aren't based on sales.
No, but like the 10% of the voting process is community based, and if you go to the internet right now, the community are Resident Evil 2, and I do think Death Stranding will probably come out, if not the winner, or probably very close. Then we never see the back end.
Yeah,
because we'll discuss at the end. We'll have some more. Best action game. See, what the fuck's the difference? Like, one just called that best. Stupid. Best action game: Apex Legends, Astral Chain, Call of Duty: Modern Warfare, Devil May Cry 5, Gears 5, Metro Exodus.
Devil May Cry.
Yeah. In terms of the best action play game, Devil May Cry. Unquestionably, like, Apex Legends is cool. Astral Chain, didn't play it. It looked fucking painful in my eyes when I saw it. Modern Warfare, probably not. Gears 5, okay. Metro Exodus, no. best VR/AR game: Asgard's Wrath, Blood and Truth, Beat Saber, Nomansky, Trover Saves Universe.
Asgard's Wrath will win this one.
It's fucking Beat Saber.
No, I think Asgard's Wrath will beat it.
Nah,
Asgard's Wrath's pretty rad.
Yeah,
like, as much fun as a Beat Saber is, and the only reason why Beat Saber is in it is because it missed the cutoff last year. Actually, no, didn't it win an award last year, and the only reason why it's in this year is because it was released on a new console?
PS5, yeah. PS4, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I'll put Beat Saber. if Beat Saber didn't, can you Google that? Because Beat Saber won last year, then yeah, it's not going to win this year. But apparently Asgard's Wrath is dope. Sadly, I won't ever play it because it's an Oculus, you know, studio game, so I'm not going to see it. Drum roll.
All right, where is it? Combat game, mobile game, action flash, redesign. No. Where's VR? Okay, Astrobot won.
Understandably, Astrobot's fucking brilliant.
Understandably, but where was it?
I'll keep moving forward while you look for that.
Yeah, it's
going to show me. Best community support game, so best ongoing game, I guess: Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, or Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Siege, possibly, because Siege's getting a lot of love, but I think it could be Apex coming out again.
Yeah.
When did Apex drop?
March? Start of the year, wasn't it?
Okay, really, so early. In that case, I think Apex may come out with the Victor, because it came out this year. Best mobile game, who fuck cares? Call of Duty Mobile, Grindstone, Sayonara, Wild Heart, Sky, Children of Light, What the Golf? No idea.
What was that for?
Best mobile games.
Sayonara, Wild Hearts.
Sweet. Best independent game: Baba Is You, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Outer Wilds, or Untitled Goose Game? Untitled Goose Game. Okay. Oh, best community support. Okay, so best community support isn't best ongoing game. It's the best game that's supporting the community. So I probably would... I guess Siege in that sense, right? Siege updates like a motherfucker. I'm going to change my mind. That's Siege. Best ongoing games, what I thought it was. Yeah, Apex, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, or Siege?
Probably Siege. Siege has been going for ages.
But best ongoing, I think people may give it to Destiny 2.
Mm.
Just because it's like...
So last year, best VR AR game: Astrobot, Beat Saber, Firewall Zero Hour, Moss, Tetris Effect, and Astrobot 1. And now Beat Saber is in again this year because it was released on a new platform. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
You don't care?
Like, I love my VR, and I love my VR games, but I don't care. Because this is something we'll talk about the awards in a little bit. Games for Impact, Concrete Genie, Gris, Kind Words, Life is Strange 2, Sea of Solitude. Apparently Sea of Solitude was pretty interesting.
Apparently so was Gris.
Yeah, Concrete Genie was alright. So the difficulty here is there's no one clear winner, like that Dragon Cancer.
Yeah.
Fuck that game. Or actually, because it made me feel so many things. Like, I haven't even finished it yet because, like, I physically can't.
Yeah.
That is that game ripped my heart out. I was not ready for that game. Best performance. Ashley Birch as Parvati in The Outer Worlds. Courtney Hope as Jesse in Control. Laura Bailey as Kate in Gears 5. Old Mads Mikkelsen as Cliff in Death Stranding. I didn't know his name was Cliff yet. Boo. I don't care. Matthew Peretta as Dr. Casper Darling in Control. Norman Reedus as Sam Porter Bridges in Death Stranding.
I'd like to see Courtney Hope win. I think Jesse Faden was a brilliantly played character.
Okay.
But I think it will go to one of the Death Stranding lads.
In no way do I think Norman Reedus' performance is astounding. Mads is pretty rad. We only see him in flashbacks right now. So unless a big turn happens, then I don't see it. Because I've confronted him outside of flashbacks.
I say I haven't yet.
But once again, it's a real kind of like side.
He's thing. Just a flashback boy now.
Yeah, so I've yet to see him actually be in the game. Because I do predict he'll be the big bad. Because notice how Troy Baker is on the list.
Mm.
So I still think that Mads may be the big bad. And hence, like, he's the villain. He's your protagonist. He's your antagonist.
We'll see.
I kind of want to put Ashley Birch as Parvati.
Yeah, her role was pretty good
because
in
Outer Worlds. Her characterization actively changed my mind.
Yeah,
in playing the game.
Yeah, true.
Most side characters, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. But she's like, her ability to make me change my mind in a game, like change my moral decision.
Yeah,
can't argue that. Best audio design: Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Control, Death Stranding, Gears 5, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro Shadows Twice. I love saying it stupid.
Okay, so it's gonna be Death Stranding here. It's
fucking Resi.
The audio design
in Resi was astounding.
It was. I'd argue for Control as well. Control here was really good. The audio was great. But it depends on if they're justifying audio design just based on in-game sounds as opposed to soundtrack as well.
Yeah, if it's soundtrack involved.
Soundtrack as well.
Next one, hang on.
Okay, yep. Then Resi or Control.
I'm going to say Res. I like that Control's been nominated a lot, but I don't know where
I don't think Control's going to win anything, which is really unfortunate because...
But having it be nommed is pretty rad. I can't argue that. Best score / music: Cadence of Hyrule. What?
It's literally a music game.
Yeah, okay. Death Stranding, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Also, Devil May Cry 5 had pretty rad music as well.
And Sayonara Wild Hearts. It's Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Its ability to combine music and score to deliver these emotional moments as you're just trekking across a mountain range is unparalleled. Best art direction: Control, Death Stranding, Gris, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, said it correctly that time, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Say again. Control. The way the house transforms and it's... But I think that Death Stranding will win it.
Yeah, this is about what we think should win. So... Yeah, the imagery and the stylistic decisions made within Control were brilliant. Right, where it would just be something as simple as the big triangle and just all this weird like Twin Peaks-y shit. For me, the art direction and the delivery of that is Control.
Yeah,
because in terms of art direction, See, I interpret art direction as those cool, like, not set pieces, but like how the world looks. Although Death Stranding is very cool, and I guess the imagery of like the BTs and stuff like that is awesome, it's just a situation of like, what did I currently? I have a more connection with Control.
Well, it's like with just by saying this, and it's fairly spoiler free, the maze.
Control. That maze, like, is absolutely astounding.
Yeah. Like, it was just...
He's astounding a couple times today. Best narrative. A Plague Tale: Innocence. A game I'm still yet too scared to play.
Because I don't... I'm glad that I got nominated for this.
I don't like rice and mice. A Plague Tale... sorry, I've read the one. Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, or The Outer Worlds. A couple good noms in there.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really glad Plague Tale got a nomination.
You played through it, yeah?
I have played through most of it. I haven't finished it yet. It got pretty intense. I got stuck. And then I kind of got really shitty. And I haven't been back. But again, I really like the narrative of Control. I can't speak to the narrative of Death Stranding. I just don't know what it is yet. I haven't finished.
As I think because with Death Stranding, the gameplay loop being so... So, the big pull. Like, the gameplay loop is so tiny that the narrative is what needs to bring you forward. Mm. And the narrative is what's engulfing you with Death Stranding. So, I think for that reason, Death Stranding will come out the victor here. I think Control, although brilliant, its narrative was good, yet lacking, because it was just so fucking confusing
for
many. You had to read between the lines.
And you did have to read a lot of the collectible stuff.
Yes, but that is a credit to the art direction, I would say, that has you wanting to read more to explain the world around you. And that's what I'm okay with. Best game direction, Control, Death Stranding, Resi 2, Sekiro, Outer Wilds. Death Stranding.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Death Stranding, but...
Yeah, best game director, because that's the closest you can get to best director.
Mm.
And everyone's just going to pull that dick. Game of the year. Control. Death Stranding. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Resident Evil 2. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Or The Outer Worlds. Okay. Everything in that list seems B tier compared to Death Stranding.
Okay, look, I'm happy with everything in that list, except I think Super Smash Bros. Should have been swapped out for, like, Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, or anything.
It's really weird. It's weird to have a fighter in Game of the Year. Because it's very... Like, normally it's very much your action adventures, your RPGs. They're very rarely do we have a fighting game in contention for Game of the Year.
Agreed.
Because they're just so minimal compared to what the other games are.
Well, let's go through the merits here of each one. I said Control, incredibly unique. It felt very influenced by various other mediums, in pieces of media, in a great way. Very X-Files, very, just Twin Peaks. Super weird, super cool. Some of the things within that system and how it uses sort of telekinetic power, I thought was really fantastic. Sadly, littered with a lot of technical bugs, which when we played it pre-release. But overall was pretty rad.
Yeah, same. I'll agree to
it. But you still consider it your game of the year. So.
I still consider it my game of the year. It had more pull for me in a lot of ways, and more so than what Death Stranding has had at the moment. And I've actually played all of these games on the list for once, which is surprising. Mm. And the only one I haven't finished is Death Stranding. Mm. So... Yeah, personally, my game of the year is Control, but that's personal favorite game this year. It obviously did have a lot of flaws.
Yeah, there are some flaws, but it's one of those things, if it can get game of the year, there's some flaws there.
But since before, obviously, Death Stranding, it is one of the most unique games
of the year
I have played in a very long time.
Yeah, and big time.
That kind of what drew me in, and I'm a massive fan of Remedy games.
Yeah. So I haven't played Alan Wake or anything like that. Well, I played Quantum Break a little bit.
Put it this way, when I finished Control, I went out and bought Alan Wake and its expansion and played through those.
Nice.
So, you know, it had a pretty good grip on me to go back and play those old games.
Death Stranding, as you said, one of the most unique experiences at least the last couple of years. The way it delivers really stagnant still, you know, unassuming gameplay with weird yet incredibly grounded narrative, which is one of Kojima's strong points. With pretty solid performances across the board, you know, with all these unique and very cool characters, it is incredibly compelling. It is an achievement for this can be delivered in 3 years, 4 years, 3 years, yeah. It's tough because I am aware, like, I am concerned that the praise that I'm giving for Death Stranding could potentially be just dick jerking, but it's, because Control and Death Stranding are the ones are the games that I have thought about the most this year.
Yeah.
While I played them, I was thinking about them constantly, like at work, at home, doing shows, everything.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I was the same, and that's why personally my game of the year is Control, because I've put Death Stranding down to play Jedi Fallen Order. Now, granted, I don't think anything else really came out during Control, but Control took over all my other gaming. Like, I stopped playing online MMOs. I stopped playing, like, Fortnite and all that. I was just playing this.
Yeah. Well, I platinumed it, and if that's anything, if that's a sign of anything.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it that much. I'm like, I need to get this all of this game.
Yeah.
And apparently there's expansions up coming out sometime soon. One of them's called AWE, you know, Alan Wake Experience, just saying. It's not confirmed it's called that. It just makes sense.
The AWE is the acronym inside the game. The thingo. But it's shown as the title screen of Alan Wake, like with the light behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read some of the stuff in Alan Wake, you can see that they're altered events similar to what was happening in Control. So they're at least similar.
Aware of each other.
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything to Death Stranding?
No, I'm not far enough in to be like, I mean, it's going to win.
Yeah.
It will be the game of the year. But, I don't know.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Like I said, very weird for a fighter to be in.
I simply do not get the appeal of Super Smash Bros.
I love it.
Period. I've never understood it. Like, I understand there is a finesse in there when you learn how to play it well, but for me it's mostly visual noise. I cannot understand Super Smash Bros. Like, this is someone that I'm wearing a Smash Brothers fucking beanie right now. I got this from a press event that I went to go play Ultimate before release. This beanie just fits my head. So I understand there is that irony there, but I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm so the same. Like, I love Smash, but Game of the Year is, it's a very weird.
Because, like, you have to consider it as the entire package, right? That includes the single player, which apparently was underwhelming.
Yeah, it was.
The multiplayer, which is the big brunt of it here.
Yeah.
I guess it's been supported constantly, but it's fine. Resident Evil 2 remake, absolutely astounding. The game is visually immaculate. The gameplay is tense and wonderful. You can get by the virtue of its design, multiple playthroughs. The audio design is exceptional. I can't think. I'm running out of descriptors for how good it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious that when it was released, it was always going to be in the game of the year.
Yeah, so like remaking an already beloved game, and then having that remake be brilliant is kind of like easy. Like, okay, that's gonna win. But I think by the nature of being a remake, as similar to you said, there's some hesitance by people. I think for that reason, it may not come out as the victor. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. I played it with you on stream, and that's it. So this is all on you.
So I finished this game twice now. Look, it's definitely not for everyone. The Soulsborne games have always had an accessibility problem. It's a very niche game. Design-wise, game-wise, you know, it's great to play, but it wouldn't beat out any of those games. Like, obviously, it would beat out Smash Bros, but
yeah, fuck Smash.
But it's not going to beat your big games like your Control, your Death Stranding, because it's just not everyone played it. Because before it even came out, people looked at it and went, "Oh, it's from these guys. Like, am I even going to be able to play it?" Mm-hmm. So Yeah, it loses a lot of weight there when people can't finish a game. How are they supposed to vote for it to win awards?
Yeah. Yeah, I do kind of...
If there was like a best combat game category, yeah.
I think in this is, you know, tinfoil hat shit, but in the same vein that people being like, you know, Kojima dick jerking, you know, it's like, because the idea of the internet conversation that Soulsborne, only the elite play Soulsborne. So, you know, like only the hardcore gamers play, you know, so
well,
it's like...
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, the only reason why I picked up Jedi Fallen Order is because it was referenced as a Soulsborne. I'm like, oh yeah, I can play that. A very limited Star Wars knowledge and care factor. Like, I haven't enjoyed a Star Wars game since, like, Jedi Outcast. But when they're like, hey, so, you know, Soulsborne combat with lightsabers, yeah, I'm in. You've sold me.
The Outer Worlds, it's the best Bethesda game they ever made. yeah, it's awesome. The world's great. Every character feels important. It's fun to explore cool and interesting worlds, although I haven't finished it yet. That is my next one, probably. So yeah, Death Stranding, then Fallen Order, and then probably Outer Worlds. That's my plan for the rest of the year. Mostly because I assume Outer Worlds is going to be a beast.
Oh yeah.
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 What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the same. Outer Worlds, fantastic game. Obsidian do fantastic RPG stuff. I like the fact that, you know, you can play charisma-based characters, talk your way out of situations. It's not just your...
Yeah, I talk my way out of almost anything.
The party system in it with your NPC allies is fantastic. They're not stupid. Like, they don't randomly go off and get themselves in combat when you want to be a stealthy boy. Because there's nothing worse than you trying to sneak into somewhere and they're just like, hey, look, an enemy!
Well, they just stand there. because you're crouched, they don't fight back, but the aggro still gets them.
Yep.
That's even worse. Yeah, Death Stranding will probably take it there. But this is the discussion, although we've gone through all the nominees, and that's all well and good and fun and our thoughts and that. The Game Awards, what's your thoughts on them in general?
I think it's just another event to make announcements and whatnot. I mean, that's what it's used for. It's odd that, you know, last year God of War won Game of the Year, and
as it should have,
but we got Game of the Year editions of Spider-Man and every other game.
This is another, like, so for those that don't know, like, one of the things that I do external to here is I work with you know, as a content creator for another a collaborative thing called Some Assembly Required. We did a recording this week for this month, and the discussion was the Game Awards, and that was my argument. I'm like, if the Game of the Year is so prestigious as it should be,
but that's what I mean.
Why is every game Game of the Year? Because if Oscars, right? Not every movie goes best film of the year, because it can't be. But because there's actual legitimacy behind the Oscars. Yeah,
but that's what happens when there's so many outlets that do their own Game of the Year.
Because
like there is the Game Awards. There's the Golden Joystick Awards. They, you know, everyone does their own little thing, yeah. And then they're like, "Oh well, I want over here, so I'm going to slap Game of the Year edition."
Yeah. Like, but you know, some of the movies. You know what I mean, it's just that idea of that if awards, in the sense they're trying to do them here, like it's this weird mix of trying to be commercial, trying to be artistic. If games want to be accepted in the artistic nature that they are, then they need to be, people need to be kept held accountable for that claim.
I agree. I mean, movies kind of do it in a way where they're like, you know, starring an Academy Award winner, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
It's not incorrect.
It's not incorrect, but...
Because they're not going to be like, best actor is awarded by WeLoveFilms.com. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
because, like, the Oscar name comes with something.
Yeah.
If you go, you know, nominee for best, you know, best performance for this game, like, I was like, okay.
Yeah, but that's the argument. Like, there's just too many game awards, like, because so many different people do them.
Yes, but once again, there are 1,000 content creators, channels, you know, that do movie reviews, but the industry does not jump on them.
Yeah, but
they know that these are the legitimate ones over here.
Yeah,
we're not fighting. Yeah, my argument is, like, it's just this fighting for legitimacy.
Yeah,
and until the Game Awards decide to not have a category, you know, from Subway, or have you know, the Sheik Hydrobot, like, you would never see that shit at the Emmys or the Grammys or the BAFTAs or, you know, the Oscars. You wouldn't see that shit. You don't be like, and for Best Director brought to you by KFC. Like, doesn't happen. It doesn't fucking happen. And if, like, if the Game Awards truly want to be demonstrated as a legitimate organization where these awards fucking mean something, they need to step up and do something. And that, and like, we pull that shit out, then, you know, that I'm sorry, that also includes reveals.
Yeah.
Like, you don't be like, you know, welcome to the 76th annual Oscars. You know, there's all the prestigiousness, and here is the trailer for Avengers. That doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, like, the problem with the awards is awards are a giant circle jerk, and they all awards are.
Yeah.
You know, but it feels a little bit more circle jerky here for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, if they're going to do it, they have to do it like a legit award ceremony, and that means not worrying that it needs to be on Twitch and on this and seen by 100,000 people. It's not going to be commercially viable. Most award ceremonies aren't. But they should be treated as, like, if they want to be treated as a legit thing, they need to do that. Like, the DICE Awards, same thing. It's not televised, and it's all about developers supporting other developers. It's very in-house, that
yeah.
one. Not saying they should make community awards, because if community awards, the winner will be Brody McBoatface. Like, people, the community sucks as a whole. Do not give community free vote to vote for anything.
No.
But that needs to happen. And they on
need
top
to be,
of that...
It needs to be nominated by the industry and voted on by the industry.
Well, they are. So all nominees are done by the industry, but they're all kind of the same guys every year, right? And on top of that, you know, the 90% of the voting sway is by by media, and 10% is community. Pretty good split on that part. Can't be too mad there. Mm. But... Yeah. Jeff Keighley, on top of that, needs to be... back behind the scenes, period. Either he gives up control of the Game Awards and stays on as host, or he gets backstage.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the same person, the person running it, as the person hosting it. It's one of the most jarring things ever. Because he's watching it, and you can see his brain's kicking and trying to, like, make the show work. And for that reason, his delivery is fucked. He's you know, no one's getting the time they need to discuss. He's like, all right, and the winner is... All right, Kwan, we've got fucking 10 more segments. All right, move. Like, it's, for that reason, it's just not... Having him on stage doesn't work. And taking that into your consciousness or into your mind, the current speculation they're having right now around the Game Awards is this quote-unquote collusion with Death Stranding having 10 nominations and Jeff Keighley literally being in Death Stranding. Now, Jeff Keighley does not vote for any of the awards.
He also doesn't nominate.
Nominate. He has no say in any of it. However, I do, you know, there is that, like, I'm not saying that this is happening, but it could be perceived as implied collusion.
Mm. But it's interesting. Like, take Death Stranding, for instance. All the people that nominated it, a lot of like, media outlets that do the nominations for this, the award show, some of them gave this game sevens. But they're like, it's Game of the Year. Then why didn't it rate higher? Why are you giving it a 7 if you think it's Game of the Year material?
Mm.
Like, it seems odd that...
Saying that, though, it's not publicly disclosed which outlets voted for what.
True, that is correct. But, I mean...
But, yeah, but when...
It obviously got voted by a lot of them to beat out every other game.
Yeah, if you have a look at if you have a look at Metacritic, which a lot of the people that are voting for this are on Metacritic, the game sits at an 83. That kind of drops it out of, like, the top 50 games of the year.
Mm.
Like... What about that? You know what I mean? It's that, but then again, it got reviewed by, like, a handful of outlets that brought that skew way down, right? So there's that. That should be taken into account too. If you want to look at review scores, it's just, yeah. On top of that, Jeff Keighley, being the nature of the person that he is so heavily involved with outlets and creators and people. He had, like, it could be perceived that he has hands and friends everywhere. So although he may not directly have an involvement, it's that, like, you know, I can't do it, but, you know, it'd be really cool if you could. I'm not saying he's done that.
Yeah.
I'm saying there is enough doubt to make it possible. Saying that, though, do I think Jeff Keighley has any sway? No, not even a fucking little bit. Like, I have enough faith within the industry as a whole.
But, like, and also, like you said, like,
I just like fueling the tin hats.
But like at the end of the day, like you said, if they win Game of the Year, what does it? It doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. Why am I oddly passionate? Doesn't care.
Because like same with like Overwatch last year had a Game of the Year edition. Didn't win Game of the Year. It won like Shooter of the Year. Yeah. They didn't put Shooter of the Year sticker on it. They put Game of the Year, which is very misleading because it wasn't Game of the Year.
Yes.
Same with, like I said, Spider-Man had a Game of the Year edition. God of War had a Game of the Year edition. So many things, just be like, oh, you know, let's just do it. Someone voted us for Game of the Year at some point, so we're just going to...
Yep. And that's my problem. My problem with it. I just want to clarify. I feel I should clarify that even though I was just speculating and doing tinfoil hat shit, I really don't think that there is this level of collusion or anything within the Game Awards space. It's just, there is enough, not plot holes, but there is enough.
You see later on Twitter, there's a picture of him, Conan, and Killy, Conan, and Kojima all hanging out backstage.
Like crossing on vote forms. You know what I mean? But there are enough potential chinks in the armor to make it look bad. Yeah. Optically, it can look bad.
You're right. The person running that shouldn't be hosting it.
Yeah. Like, the people that run the Oscars don't get on stage. They have someone cool to do it. And it's the idea...
I'm not saying Jeff Keighley isn't cool, but, yeah.
You can't do those two hats. You need to reduce your amount of hats.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. And let us know what you think of the Game Awards. Do you believe they are legitimate? Do you believe they are needed? Do you believe there is collusion? Because if you do, your answer is no. It should be no, but... That's it. Enough chinks.
But before you get to the next segment, I also want to point out that I got really excited. I found out that Green Day is performing. I found out Green Day is performing there and going to announce something. So hopefully Green Day Rock Band 2.
But saying that though, Green Day Rock Band had American Idiot and then 21st Century Breakdown. They've released like four albums since they've released Uno Deuce and Trey, which weren't very good. Then they released Revolution Radio, not very good. So like Green Day Rock Band 2, do you really need it?
Yeah. Really? Just give me all the old stuff as well.
I have it. It's on my PS4.
Maybe it's something else. Maybe they're joining forces with the Harmonix and they're doing the Autica? VR game. Yep. Okay. Green Day on Autica.
I'm down with that. Beat Saber. Bring the Beat Saber. Well, you got Panic at the Disco on there, and you're like, you can put Green Day on Beat Saber. I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying. Morning, live without morning. Yeah, I'm down with it. All right. Games coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Players. A new PlayStation games for November 26, 2019. As always, this list is from the US. May not always come out here. Number one, Bleep Bloop, PS4 Digital. Brain in Retro, PS4 Digital. Five Nights at Freddy's, apparently. 29th of November, coming on 29th for PS4 Digital. Foxy Land, PS4, PS Vita, Crossbuy. Looks like shit. Gas Guzzlers Extreme, PS4 Digital. Golazo, PS4 Digital, out on the 27th. I scrolled too hard. Gris, PS4 Digital. So, wait, how's this getting all noms if it's not even out yet?
Because it's out on PC. On other stuff. Yeah,
makes sense. So Gris is a hopeful young girl lost in her own world, dealing with a painful experience in her life. Her journey through sorrow is manifested in her dress, which grants new abilities to navigate her faded reality. Gris is a serene and evocative experience, free of danger, frustration, or death. Oh, this sounds awesome. It can be enjoyed by anyone regardless of the spoken language. Fuck, I've got to download this for work. I think that'll do wonders. Pick-a-Pix Classic 2, PS4, PS Vita, Digital Crossbuy. Soccer, Tactics, and Glory, PS4 Digital, out on the 27th. Story of a Gladiator, PS4 Digital. The Nightfall, PS4 Digital, out on the 27th. True Fear, Forsaken Souls Part 2, PS4 Digital, out on the 25th. And that's it. I guess Gris.
Yeah, that was a pretty shitty drop.
Yeah. It's because from now, literally until January, there is almost nothing.
What's coming out in January?
Nothing.
Yeah, so until like Feb.
Yeah. I'm to the point I'm making between now and probably the end of January, nothing. Yeah. Like, this is backlog time, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we have 2 months of nothing that we can catch up on everything.
Yeah. So, Death Stranding, Outer Worlds.
Won't take me that long.
Yeah. He's done. Like I said, I'm like 35 fucking hours into it or whatever, and I'm still like chapter 8, 9 or something like that. I've also done a lot of fucking around, so there's that too. But that PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join that PlayStation conversation, head over to facebook.com/group/thepopculturist. Twitter, Discord, links are in the description below. If you want to join that chat as it happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Support us at any dollar value. But man, you can watch us record this show live. If you want to support us in more once-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. And we are also on a Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where, I don't know what I'm streaming next week. Could be anything. I did reach out about, like, Autica. And the Doctor Who VR and Aspire, and I don't know who's fucking handling them, but it's not who I thought it was. It was more of a situation of like, hey, because, like, you know, with PlayStation, I get a, you know, PlayStation newsletter blast, like, hey, if any of these game piques your interest, reach out to us. I'm like, hey man, this piqued my interest, and they're like, oh, we don't have them. It's like, cool,
classic.
I'm like, alright, I guess I'm just gonna buy Autica. I'm gonna have to buy Autica. I need to play it.
I mean, if it wasn't summer.
Yeah.
Like, VR are not summer games.
Yeah. Well, now that I've got cameras in both rooms, I can actually play it in the lounge, like, right under the aircon, so I don't mind. It's just my kid's the worst, and he leaves shit everywhere, and he is everywhere. So, damn him. Anyway. Thanks again, Max, for coming in, filling in for Josh.
Anytime.
You'll probably need you next week.
Too easy.
You're really adapting well to this, though. There's something that's never potted before. You're doing really well.
I try. I mean, what is it? 4 weeks in a row?
4 weeks now? You enjoying it still?
Yeah, I love it.
It makes you look things differently.
Yeah, it does. It's also a great, like you said last night, it's a great excuse to just hang out.
Because
we, despite the fact that we live 5 minutes away from each other, we just don't.
Yeah, just because you work nights, you know, I work days, so there's like a window of time that we can hang out. You're like, I gotta work.
Yeah,
that's it. And then children, and then you're gonna have babies, and there's so many things. I'm still very keen to have Josh come back, and I've been talking to
him. We'll have to start a pop culture as dad club. There's a few of us now.
Dad gamers. Yeah, I think that could work. That's quite a good idea, actually. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper,
and that was For the Players.
At least you had a nice chunk in the middle where you know you.
Yeah, that's I just got to cut out the part where it took a piss. 4ThePlayers, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast, is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Kyle Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.